Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, taking the gnocchi of conversation, throwing it into the boiling water of the internet and waiting for it to bubble up to the top to serve up a nice bowl of podcast gnocchi.
That's Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster. We own a dream restaurant. And sorry, I had to swallow there.
Great. That's all staying.
Yep. And every week we invite in a guest and we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week our guest is...
Paul Foot, a wonderful comedian, one of my favourite comedians, James.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that our entire generation of comics inspired by Paul Foot to some degree. Absolutely hilarious.
Totally unique.
Yeah, always to the beat of his own drum.
To the beat of his own drum, not just on stage, off stage as well.
Yeah, it's not an act.
No, it's not an act. So very excited to speak to Paul Foot because I genuinely don't know what he's going to say. But I know he likes cooking and I know he enjoys food.
I do know that. Before I even became a stand-up comedian, I'd watch Paul's YouTube channel.
Yes.
And every now and again, he would do a little cook-along.
Yeah.
Where he would show you how to cook a fish pie and stuff like that.
Oh, brilliant.
I remember the fish pie, especially.
This is going to be so much fun. Paul has had an amazing career as a stand-up comic, and we've got a lot of questions for him.
Also, you can see Paul's new tour, Dissolve. Get tickets at paulfoot.tv and see all the different places where he's coming. He'll be coming to a town near you,
I'm sure.
Also, and we hate to do this, but every single week there is a secret ingredient. If the guest says it, they get kicked out on their ass because we've deemed it unacceptable. And this week, the secret ingredient is a moist cake.
Moist cake. Now, this refers to one of Paul's signature stand-up comedy routines.
Fantastic routine about how if you get given a slice of homemade cake, you have to comment on how moist it is to the person who's made it. I once saw him do this routine to a room full of people who were loving it, really laughing. There's one guy in the front who wasn't, and Paul said to him, like, "You're not enjoying my comedy," and the man was like, "Nah, it's not for me." And then Paul offered him a slice of an invisible moist cake and said, "Would you come on, just bite this and join us all?" And the man was like, "No," and he was like, "Just have a bite of the moist cake." And it was a standoff for about 5 minutes, and eventually the man went, "I mimed." Eating the moist cake and everyone cheered and went crazy for it.
Fantastic. That's the sort of thing you get at a Paul Foot show. Yeah. Paul did a lot of mimes for a while. He invented a new form of mime where he spoke during it, which I have very, very fond memories of.
Was that when he was being Penny?
No, I think that was post-Penny.
Yeah.
The other routine of Paul's to look up is, weirdly, he did that show Last Comic Standing in the US and did very well on it.
Yeah.
And he did moist cake on that, I think. And Shy Horses is the other big routine that you definitely need to look up.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can tell we're absolutely giddy fans. So let's get Paul onto the podcast now. This is the off-menu menu of Paul Foot. Welcome, Paul, to the Dream Restaurant.
Oh, thanks, Ed.
Welcome, Paul Foot, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Oh, hi, James. That's funny, you appearing there like that.
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Oh, that was funny. You just appeared out of nowhere.
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
You didn't appear out of nowhere.
No, I've been here all the time.
No, you came from behind a door.
Yeah.
You've been hiding behind a door.
Yes.
It was a bit weird when you appeared, a bit frightening.
Yeah.
In a horrible way.
Yeah.
In just a horrible... sort of stalkery way.
In a creepy way, yeah.
In a creepy way. Yeah, yeah. Because when you appeared, James, it was more magical. It was magical. He just appeared out of nowhere.
It was magical and lovely. And I'm sorry for what you had to endure with Ed beforehand.
Yes, well, it wasn't just that appearing. Yeah. You know, it was a lot of things happening in the weeks and months preceding it.
You could...
Different appearance. Ed has been making various appearances in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
In different places, sometimes just appearing in old phone boxes.
Yeah.
I think I walked past a phone box and I think, I had phone boxes anymore. What do they use them for? Are they for the internet? What do they have them for?
Yeah.
And I see Ed Gamble's in there. And it's a local phone box near my house. There's no reason.
Yeah.
But, A, no one uses them anymore. And why is he there?
Yeah. What was he doing in the phone box?
Nothing. Just that's what was so weird about it.
Yeah.
Just standing. You know, if it'd been something like, I don't know, even if he'd had binoculars or something, like a proper sort of stalkery pervert.
Like a grubby one.
At least that would have given a context.
Or even
something sexual. I'd have welcomed because I'd have known what it was.
You know what I'm up to.
You know what it is. Yeah. You call the police. They know how to deal with it. It is a bona fide offence.
Yeah.
But you can't just call the police and say, I think I've seen Ed gambling in an old phone box.
No.
Not doing anything.
He's giving you nothing to report.
It's not a crime. I was just in the phone box.
Yeah. Are you worried that when you hit the road and you go on tour doing your show Dissolve around the UK, that Ed is going to follow you around the UK and pop up at various places?
Absolutely. In fact, what I tend to do when I get in my car is always check the back seat in case it's one of those things, scenes from a film when suddenly Ed Gamble comes from behind and just says, I was here all the time, hiding in your car. I want to speak to you. And I say, I can't speak to you, Ed.
Yeah.
There are a number of restraining orders.
Yes.
In the county courts as well as in the jurisdiction of California. In various countries, there are restrictions.
Yeah.
I can't speak to you. You know what happens. I call the police and I don't even have to say anything to the police. Mm. I've got a code number. Yeah. I just say it to them. Code 4739.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I know the code now. Thanks for letting me know the code, Paul.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
There's the code.
And also, I've got all of your tour dates listed here, so I know exactly where you're going to be and when.
Oh, no.
That's concerning, isn't it?
That is a worry.
All I'm saying is...
It's played into his hands this episode.
Yeah, it's going to be... beginning of October is going to be great. Aberdeen, Edinburgh, Glasgow, Sheffield, Birmingham, Stafford.
Oh, he's got you.
It's a good job that I went to the trouble of learning a false... code number for the police, as well as going to the extravagant expense of making a false website that looks like my own website but has different dates, always one day behind, so that you always appear at the theatre one day after I was there, where the police are waiting.
Do you worry that's going to damage your sales?
Well, it will reduce them by one, because then you'll be able to.
But
you know, there'll be one less ticket. Still, the ticket will be sold, but there'll be one empty seat in every show.
Yeah.
It'll always be there, the Ed Gamble seat, but seat 4E, four rows back and five in.
Yeah.
It's the one
that's
where,
my seat.
That's your seat, which you've booked for every single show, but that will always be empty.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can look at that seat and feel comforted, I guess.
Yeah. I know that is the difference between me and death.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, that's becoming very apparent that these are the stakes here.
Yes. I've known it for some time that Ed, and by the way, I think it's best that in this podcast, Ed is referred to in the third person at all times.
Yeah.
But, you know, that I know that he has been plotting against me.
Do I need to refer to myself in the third person as well?
Does that make you feel safer?
Yeah, I think that's better. It's like it's like an entity.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, I'm just an aura, really. Oh, sorry, Ed's just an aura.
Yeah, Ed Gamble.
Yes. Yeah, Ed Gamble.
Yes. The spirit of Ed Gamble, which is not a good spirit. Not like yours, that genie, that lovely. Wonderful... genie coming up, all like a fluttery little genie rising, if I may say, with a dash of camp.
Thank you.
You know, lovely, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's any non-camp genies, though, to be fair. I think it comes with the territory.
Well, I suppose it does.
Who thinks it?
Huh?
Who thinks it comes with the territory?
Oh, Ed Gamble thinks it comes with the territory.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, if you look at genies, particularly in panto, always camp, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, there was one with Christopher Biggins, when months of work they did trying to get the campness out of him so he could play the most sort of straight sort of macho genie ever, and it was just a wasted money.
Money
down the drain that ultimately meant that they didn't make a profit.
Yes.
When there's solid profits to be made on panto, because they're big sellers, but instead... losses were made and the theatre had to close.
Do you know, I mean, you know, I don't expect you will know, but do you happen to know some of the methods they use to try and decamp Biggins?
Well, yes. Well, some of the methods, yeah. Speaking deep. Biggins deep. Biggins.
Yeah.
And then they'd get him to say things like, things like that, and I mean, some of the things I can't really say, but the sort of things you'd say in the 70s, like, right, nice racking you, love. So they'd find things, and we ought to put a sort of
a warning, trigger warning,
that some 1970s phrases are going to be used in this podcast.
Yeah.
But it was things like that. So 1970s phrases, he'd have to say stuff like, right, darling, what? Want to meet up after work? Yeah, you got a boyfriend? Doesn't stop us, does it? Things like that. That's the sort of stuff. That's the sort of stuff that Biggins had to say.
Biggins had to say that.
To decamp the genie character.
And didn't really make much difference.
Didn't work. So as soon as he got on stage.
Yeah, as soon as he got on stage, he's like, oh, hello, Christopher Biggins here. Here for, you know, you all know what you've come for. And I know what I've come for as well. You know, and all of that sort of stuff, all the innuendo. It would all be out, the innuendo, the campness.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be the most masculine panto ever. That's what they were aiming for.
Yes. Yeah. Very sad what happened.
And they wanted no innuendo in that panto.
Yeah.
Again, mistake, you know.
Real shame.
Big mistake. Shouldn't have hired Biggins.
No, shouldn't have had Biggins.
But then he puts bums on seats.
But then, you know, also another thing that puts bums on seats is a combination of an actor who used to be in Emmerdale 10 years ago, as well as other well-known actors like Wendy Craig.
Yeah.
You know, it all adds up.
Yeah.
Would you do panto, Paul?
Being serious? Are we being serious? Are we being serious? Are we joking?
Oh, it's up to you.
We'll follow you.
I mean, it's not a dream. It's not the dream, is it?
No, it's not the dream, but would you enjoy it, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would enjoy it because you can enjoy anything, can't you? I mean, you know, if I had to do 15 years hard labour in Siberia...
You'd enjoy that?
I'd enjoy it.
Do you think so?
You get into it. Just get into the mode, wouldn't you? I'd think, well, I have to accept my life is different now. I'm no longer a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
I'm in Siberia having gone to Russia and said something to... Whatever I did.
Yeah, you did something.
I said an innuendo to Vladimir Putin in the style of Christopher Biggins.
You were doing panto in Russia.
I was doing panto in Russia. Yeah, I was doing panto in Leningrad.
Yeah.
And it's not called Leningrad anymore, is it? I don't know. Why did that pop out of my mouth? I think I was going back to the 70s, the 1870s.
Yeah,
so that was a mistake. But anyway, the point is, get into it.
You know,
so if you have to toil at the coal face of panto, you must. You've got to enjoy it, haven't you?
Got to enjoy it. So you'd have a good time.
Yeah, I'd have a good time.
You'd accept that that's your life now.
Yeah, I'd accept that it's my life, but I'd accept that there's more likely of a way back from a life sentence in a Russian kangaroo court sentencing me to life of hard labour in Siberia. There's more likelihood of getting back into my career from that than there is from appearing in panto. Which is, let's face it, right up there with being on a cruise ship with, you know, the death knell being sounded for one's career.
Yeah, that's fair enough. We're going to talk a lot about food today. We already know that you are a foodie. You appreciate the fine foods. When I first met you over 15 years ago, you were definitely in a phase at that point, and maybe it's not stopped, maybe you're still doing it, where you said to me, I only ever eat in Michelin star restaurants now.
It was sort of, I mean, I don't know whether you've misremembered slightly, but
that's what you said.
Well, perhaps I was trying to impress you. I think, well, there's a truth to that, in that you get the good value. The best value, I think, in restaurants is at the top end and the bottom end.
Uh-huh.
You can get some really cheap thing for £1.70, good value.
Yeah.
And you can pay £200 for a really good meal, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Where you lose out is on the sort of mid-range,
yeah,
where it's just not particularly, like, the sort of Bella Italia's, and the place is sort of a bit better than the Bella Italia's.
Yeah.
It's nothing. You could cook it yourself. It's not that good, and it's money down the drain. So, yes, therefore, it is... one should eat in the Michelin-star restaurants when one can.
I would like to see you host a consumer affairs show where you judge whether the things are money down the drain or not. Because that is a catchphrase. It's money down the drain.
Yeah, money down. That would be the name of my show.
Yeah.
Money down the drain. And I would look at things that are down the drain, money-wise.
And would it be like Antiques Roadshow, where members of the public bring stuff to you and you decide if it's money down the drain or not? Or are you going to establishments and deciding if what they're selling is money down the drain?
Yeah, I'd go to establishments, and there's obvious things. Like, I find it hilarious that people are caught out by things like this. Like, I bought a fridge a few years ago.
Yeah.
A fridge, and it cost about £200.
Yeah.
Which is what you have to pay for a really quite good fridge.
Yeah.
I mean, you can really pay a lot of money for a really expensive fridge.
One of the big American ones, if you want to do that. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It doesn't really make much difference. Mm. Yeah. It's a fridge.
Yeah.
So £200 for a fridge, there's not much that could go wrong in a fridge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's under warranty for the first 2 years anyway. Yeah. And then they try and sell you a thing. Would you like peace of mind? It's only £28.99 per year. And if anything happens to your fridge, it'll be replaced. Like, does anyone actually just look at that and think, what are the chances of the fridge breaking down? Low. What are the chances that I'm going to end up paying a lot more? Like, it's ridiculous. Why do people do it? Madness. This is the sort of thing I'd say in my podcast. not podcast. No, it's not a podcast, is it? It's a TV show.
TV show.
Yeah, I got confused. This is a podcast. Yeah. This is really happening. I forgot that.
This is real.
This is real.
Yeah.
This is real. TV show imaginary.
Yes.
And if someone did pay £28 a year, just in case something happens with their fridge and goes wrong with it, what would that be?
Well, in the show... they'd sign a thing that if they've been found to be putting money down the drain, then I'll save some of that money.
Yeah.
So I'll say 50% of the money that they're putting down the drain will be saved, and the other 50% goes to me. So I will be siphoning from people's bank accounts money.
Yeah.
People who have made stupid decisions in the past.
Yep.
Any bad decision, I get half the money.
So in a way, going on the show is also money down the drain.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a massive, you know. Yeah. I might say to you, you've got an investment, and you could say, oh, it's quite a good investment. I'm getting 7% interest. And if I found one with a higher interest, I'd say, you should have thought about that. Higher interest. So you then get the higher interest, but you pay half the difference to me, you see?
Yeah.
For life.
When you get their money down the drain, when that gets siphoned to you, do you have to pay tax on that, or is that tax-free?
Tax-free.
Good.
Yeah, because, well, it is, isn't it? I mean, because it's not earnings, is it? It's just money I'm siphoning off.
Yeah.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
My accountant, I said, you know, how does it work with the tax situation with certain things?
Yeah.
Earnings, tax at this rate. Dividends, tax at this rate. Siphoning. Has anyone ever paid tax on siphoning?
No, never.
Like, it's like another thing you can do with siphoning is you can siphon money out. Like, you might have too much money, and it's a bit of a problem. I've got too much money here, it's causing a problem because there's the capital gains tax situation. Big worry. Siphon it out into the Cayman Islands.
Yeah,
so
it
can be siphoned off. That's siphoned off.
It's siphoned off.
Yeah, that's siphoned, not siphoned out.
Yeah, siphoned out is when it comes out of their bank account into me.
Sure. Yeah,
and then that was then ironically siphoned off into other accounts around the world.
And then that gets siphoned up?
Yeah, that gets siphoned up into property portfolio.
Right, yeah.
Yes, because I would like to be wealthy enough that I don't have a house or even second home or even three homes, a portfolio. Yeah. That's what I want to have, a portfolio. Yeah. So you don't even really know what's in it.
Yeah.
Got a portfolio. Oh, I'm going to Hong Kong next week. Shall I stay in a hotel? I think I might have somewhere in Hong Kong. Let me check my portfolio. Yes, I've got somewhere in Hong Kong. I can stay there. Although the portfolio says someone's in there at the moment. Could be, well, I'll stay in a hotel. Never mind. You know.
So you always end up in a hotel anyway.
You always stay in a hotel.
But then in your fantasy.
Yeah, in the fantasy, yeah. But then I might think, oh, well, I need to expand the portfolio in certain areas, certain markets.
Mm. Would you ever like your property portfolio to include hotels? Because then you've got yourself covered there if you buy a hotel and you own hotels.
Mm. Yeah, I'd like to own a hotel.
And then you've got a room whenever you want.
And you've got really... I mean, I stayed in a hotel in Melbourne earlier in the year. It wasn't my hotel.
No.
I want to point out before I start the story.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't mine, but I knew someone who knew the owner of the hotel. Best room in the hotel, wasn't it? All people at reception saying, if there's anything you want, anything at all, just let us know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, imagine if that was my hotel.
Yeah.
I think they do say that to everyone, though, in hotels, right?
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I don't know.
I've never stayed in a hotel. I don't stay in hotels often because I'm normally just in one of my portfolio places.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with it. I didn't know that. I thought it was some special treatment I was getting. That's disappointing. I didn't know they said that to everyone.
Yeah, they offer to help anyone up. Was it the Adena in Melbourne?
It was not the Adena. I've forgotten what it was now. The Mantra.
The Mantra. Uh-huh.
The Mantra.
I was there too, the Mantra on Russell.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Did they offer to help you or did they just tell you, oh, fuck yourself?
Yeah, they said, sorry, are you Paul Foot? I said, no. They said, no. We can't get you anything.
I mean, I'm surprised that you were able to stay in the same hotel as Paul since your history with him.
What do you mean?
You're stalking him all the time. You're following him around the country. You're in phone boxes.
He didn't know it was there.
And you followed him to Melbourne now and you're staying in the same hotel.
It wasn't the same hotel. You made a big mistake. You wasted your money. It was in Epping.
Yeah.
Different one.
Yeah, different one near the airport.
Yeah, I wonder why I couldn't see you.
That's the greatest trick ever.
Yeah.
We always start with still a sparkling water, Paul.
Oh, yes. Well, I think still water, and there's a reason for that, which sounds ridiculous.
Mm.
But I am in good health.
Congratulations.
But I have one weird thing about me, which is not really a health thing. And I only really realised 8 months ago. But I used to, if I had like sparkling water or anything sparkling, like sparkling cherry cola and things like that, then I would go all bloated inside.
Oh.
And then if I had like all rich food, I would have to go to the loo and it'd have to release it in a really violent way that sounded like I was being sick.
Yeah.
One time I was at the Dorchester Hotel having one of those Michelin star meals we talked about.
Yeah.
And then I said, show me where the loo is, please. It's all very polite.
Yeah.
Who's this way, please? Thank you so much, sir, and all that stuff. Then I went in, and there was like some really rich people in the loo. It's the Dorchester. And I just went, like vomiting sound. But it's like a vomit sound.
Yes.
But it isn't.
Yeah.
But it's like all the gas coming out, all violently.
Wow.
Anyway, and I couldn't work out what it was. And I thought it was because I'm swallowing air as I'm eating too quickly, and kind of air's going in. But anyway, then suddenly I was having a conversation with a friend a few months ago and he said something about, just did a little burp there. Mm. And then I said, what is burp?
What?
I said, what is burp? Because I didn't really know what burp was. I didn't know. I'd heard the word, but I didn't know what burp was, you see. And then I discovered that you can burp either loudly, like little whoop, but it's all silently.
Yeah.
But the point is, I realised that never in my whole life have I ever burped. Ever. I've never burped. I didn't know what it was. So I've been training myself in burping because I looked it up online and it's quite rare what I've got.
Yeah.
It's quite rare, but you can have it done by, under general anaesthetic, you have to have Botox injected into your... sort of like down in the mouth.
In your throat.
Down in the throat, that bit.
Yeah, to help you burp.
To help you, because it opens it up and then you can burp after that. But I was trying to do training because I saw an internet video of a man trying to do a burp. And one time after brushing my teeth, I managed to get my mouth all full of that little toothpaste, then I managed to do a belch. And I have been able to, more recently, do, like, release all the gas in, like, the vomity way, but less loudly than before. Like, I'd be on aeroplanes and, like, the cabin crew would say, "Are you all right? What's going on?"
Yes.
But anyway...
So you could. So the problem is that you're getting all that gas in there, but you'd have no way of releasing it other than this weird vomit sound.
I can't release it other than the weird vomit sound. Yeah. Mm. But then, strangely enough, 2 weeks ago, and I hadn't even eaten or anything, I've been doing all this training, you see, and then I was just changing a record on my record player, and suddenly I did a burp. And that's the first one in my whole life. But I haven't done one since. That was about 3 weeks ago.
Why?
But there's maybe a hope. And the next step would be another burp, and the next step after that would be a silent burp, which is like, that's like a real pipe dream to me at the moment. Like, I'm more likely to be in panto with Christopher Biggins than
sure.
that. Not that I want to.
No, you don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that. It's unlikely, but it's still. So anyway, so that's why, for that reason, I would have this still water.
Yeah.
So the last thing I need is more bubbles inside me because of that. Thing. It's got a fancy name for it.
Really, not being able to burp.
Yes, and you can have it done, but you have to have it done privately, and it costs about £4,000 or something. But it's what concerns me is that, you know, you've got to find, it's privately, and you've got to find someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's not like the NHS, when, with the NHS, you can have something done on the NHS for free, and if it goes wrong, you can then just live with it for the rest of your life. But tell everyone and just say, you know, the NHS, they let me down. There's been so many cuts in the NHS. It's a disgrace. It's been running to the ground. I went for a routine operation on my hip. I've been in agony ever since. I had a routine operation to check something to do with my gallbladder. I've been incontinent ever since, and I can't have sex anymore. It's a disgrace. That's what's happened to the NHS. And after it, they paid me just £15,000 compensation. It's not much, is it? Considering I've lost my sex life, I've lost my sex drive, I've lost my ability to, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's private, you know, you can't do that.
No.
So it's best to make sure they know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I thought, why didn't I just train myself to do it? It must be possible.
I mean, if you've done it when you were changing the record or your record player, that's a good start.
Yeah.
Maybe you remember what the album was you were listening to, the music. Maybe that helps.
Maybe it relaxed you.
Vivaldi, was it?
Certainly not. No, it was J.S. Bach.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have been listening to Vivaldi. Talk about second rate. I can't believe you just said that. That's like the most insulting thing you can say. The idea I was going to listen to Vivaldi in my own home, like in my private sanctuary, when I finally got into my own home, done a complete sweep of the whole house, checked that Ed Gamble isn't there anywhere in the home, and I can just relax. Yeah. The idea I'm going to put Vivaldi on and then burp, well, it's insulting.
I apologize. Yeah,
can't believe you said that.
I apologize. Actually.
That's all right, James.
I do apologize.
I know you didn't mean it.
I didn't mean it.
And deep down, I like you.
Yeah. Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Pulford? Poppadoms or bread?
Oh, poppadoms or bread? Mm. Poppadoms.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, they're nice, aren't they?
They are nice. They're very nice.
I mean, it's not going to fit in with my meal, I don't think, because I don't think I'm going to have an Indian meal particularly, but it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's the best, isn't it? Poppadoms.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all the little pickles.
Yeah.
The little pickles. And there's always one that no one likes. The onion.
Yeah, people often disregard the onion.
The chopped onion bit. I like the chopped onion one.
Well, that's because you can't burp, so you never have to experience the onion burp.
Oh, no, I've never had that.
They don't repeat on you.
Oh, do they? Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, you see, you have to taste it again as it belches out your
mouth. Because when you burp, which is what you're training yourself to do, if you've had onion, you then get the taste of onion in the burp.
Oh, but when I do the little vommy thing,
yes,
you definitely have the taste then. It's real bad. I mean, that's like concentrated onion.
Yeah.
It's like 1,000 French onion soups. So forget about your little onion burp thing. This is like concentrated onion trauma. Yeah. This is like 25 years in Siberia, hard onion. You know, it's just cutting onions for 25 years.
Yeah, and then you have it all with that belch.
You know how you say you can enjoy anything? Does that go for the weird vomit sound?
Yeah, one has to enjoy every part of one's life, doesn't one?
Yeah.
If one can, you know, it's all part of life.
Yeah, it's all part of life.
It's all part. Yeah, so I make the best of it.
Yeah.
That's one of the big things that's going to happen in my life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you think about it, I may be on the way to being cured, but even if there's, say, another 50 vomit moments in my life before the curing and I've learnt how to do the burping, that's still 50... I mean, that's about as long as this podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, I might as well enjoy it. Because that's the whole length of this podcast is just vomiting. Which, in many ways, you know, is probably the reaction of some guests, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
After it's been show. Said before.
A few of them.
You know, sort of sick. Doubled up.
Yeah.
But sort of thinking, what did I do that podcast for? No. But then vomiting, repeatedly thinking about the podcast, but also checking the time to make sure that the vomiting... In some way, I don't know why it makes a difference, but that it outlasts the length of the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
If the vomiting's longer than the podcast, then you think, okay, that's gone now. It's over. Somehow, in some sort of spiritual way, it's just exorcised.
It cancels it out.
Cancels it out.
Yeah. So do you want all the dips of your poppadoms?
Oh, yes, please.
You want all of them?
Yeah. That one, the mango-y one, I like the
mango
sweet
chutney.
One. Yeah, and the one that's... That's sort of the very hot one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want that one.
Like red, the lime pickle.
The lime pickle.
And the onions.
And there's a fourth one that I can't remember what it is now.
It's like the writer, the
yoghurty.
Yeah, the yoghurty one.
Oh, the yoghurty one. Yeah, a bit of the yoghurty one.
Do you want to invent a dip as well? Invent your own poppadom dip, a brand new one, a Pulford special?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I really like cherry cola.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, I say that. I don't know why I say that, because I only probably have it maybe every 4 years. But like every 4 years, I have like a craving, and it's overwhelming. It can come on quite quickly.
Yeah.
It can come on within 15 minutes, and I've gone from just normal life to just massive craving for cherry cola.
Yeah.
It happens about every 4 years, to the extent that I'll go into shops and just be, have you got cherry cola, you know?
Yeah.
And then I have a bit of cherry cola, and I just... And the craving's gone for 4 years.
That's nice.
So, yeah, I'd have that flavour.
Yeah.
Dip, a cherry cola dip.
A cherry cola on my poppadoms.
So do you want actual, just like a little saucer of cherry cola, or do you want a sauce like that has the consistency of like mayonnaise, but that is cherry cola flavour?
Yeah, I think I want to do something a bit more Heston Blumenthal. Yes. I want something that tastes of cherry cola, but looks quite different.
Yeah.
I would like the sauce to look like crushed up bits of old poppadom.
Right.
It looks like bits of old poppadom, but it's actually much softer.
Mm.
It looks hard, but it isn't. It's soft.
Yeah.
And it's got cherry cola flavour.
Cherry cola. Yeah. That's going to blow people's minds.
Yeah, that will, actually.
And it's got vitamins in as well.
Oh.
So you don't have to bother eating the rest of the day, because it's got all the vitamins.
That you'd need for a day.
Yeah. The whole day's vitamins.
Yeah. That's good.
All of that. And it's got protein and everything that you need.
It's a complete meal, really.
Do you know, I only discovered recently, that's another, you know, I don't know whether you've had the same thing, either of you, but when there's things that you get to quite an age, like I'm nearly 50, and then there's things you just didn't know. Like I didn't know what was burp, for example. And then there's other things, like it was only when I was about 48 that I found out what a canyon was. I didn't know what a canyon was. I had no idea. And then people would say, I've gone to the Grand Canyon. And I didn't really, I just sort of say, oh, that's nice, must be lovely to see it, and then change the subject. Because I didn't know what a canyon was. I didn't know what that word was.
You didn't know what the Grand Canyon was until you were 48?
No, I'd heard of it. I knew it was near Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what a canyon was.
You'd never seen a photo of it?
No. I didn't know what the word meant. And I'd never looked it up. Yeah. I don't know why. I just never looked it up. I always thought I must look it up.
Yeah.
Like someone would say something about a canyon. I thought, I must look that up, so I don't appear foolish next time.
Yeah.
But then I would just forget about it. And then I'd suddenly be like a nightmare into a conversation with someone. Oh, we've just got back from a family holiday. Oh, we went in a helicopter, flew over the Grand Canyon. I think, oh, no, it's happening again. And I think, I'm 47 years old. I can't tell them I don't know what a canyon is.
Yeah.
I guess canyons aren't coming up that often, though, right? So it's, you think, oh, I should look that up, and then it's so long until someone brings up canyons again, there was no point.
Yeah, it's about every four or five months on average.
Yeah.
An average...
That you meet someone who's either going to or coming back from the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, or just brings it up, yeah.
An average, healthy, sexually active adult.
Yeah.
The sexually active wasn't really relevant there. But that, you know, every 4 or 5 months you'll hear the word canyon.
Yeah.
Or be, and probably less often than that, maybe once every 10 months, be involved in a conversation about a canyon where you really have to then sort of add something to the conversation. So, I really know what you mean there. Grand Canyon. I get your meaning there. I know what to say about that. Actually, what I'm doing now, that's actually some of the training that Christopher Biggins had to do. I know about canyons. That was some of his training. He used to do that. Know about canyons. Yeah, tell me about it.
I think, Paul, if I didn't know about something and someone brought it up and I wanted to disguise the fact I didn't know about it, I wouldn't use the phrase of, I get your meaning there, because that is opening up a whole world of issues.
If someone said to me, canyons, I know all about that, I think that's when I'd be suspicious.
Yeah,
you would be,
You still haven't told us what a canyon is, though, during all of this. You're saying that you know what it is now.
I think I know what it is. It's like a big kind of valley. But I didn't know that.
No.
I had no idea what it was. I did not know that the Grand Canyon went down into the ground. I didn't know what it was.
What did you imagine when people did say it? Was it just a blank slate in your mind, or did you imagine something?
I half thought, maybe is it some sort of mountain? But then that didn't seem to make sense, because people say, we flew over it. And you thought, well, why would you fly up over a mountain?
Yeah.
So then I thought, maybe it's just some sort of thing with like a big lake, and there's like trees around it or something, and it's kind of pretty. Yeah. Maybe it kind of reflects the sunlight in a particular way, and people say, wow, what a canyon. Look, the light, the way it's reflecting off that lake.
Yeah.
Well, it's a particular type of lake that reflects the light in a particular sort of way. Yeah. It's called a canyon.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I thought it was.
A lake that reflects light in a certain type of way.
Yeah, either that was some sort of docking site. I didn't know. Something like that. I didn't really know. I was guessing.
Is there anything nowadays that you're pretending to know about that you don't know about that you want to share on the podcast?
Because we can talk about it now.
Yeah, I think there was. I think I brought this up because I was going to say something that I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
With reference to what we were talking about on the podcast. I've completely lost my thread now of what it was we were saying.
We've got poppadoms and the sauce that you've got.
Yeah, and you were saying something about, did I want the cherry cola? I can't remember what it was.
Did you want it in a dish, or did you want the sauce to just taste of cherry cola to be like mayonnaise that was... Do you not know what mayonnaise is?
I knew what mayonnaise was. There was something else I didn't know, something obvious. I'll tell you what it was. It was, I said about vitamins and you said about protein, Ed.
Well, I think you said protein.
Oh, actually. I said protein. Yeah. But that was something I only discovered like a year ago.
Yeah.
I didn't know that protein is like food. Like you can eat, I thought that food was only carbohydrate. Carbohydrates is what gives you energy.
Mm-hmm.
So you need carbohydrates like potatoes and things that gives you energy. And I thought protein, like eggs or what else, is milk and things like that.
Chicken.
I thought chicken, it doesn't give you energy. It's just, I thought if you eat chicken or eggs or stuff, you'll have no energy, because it doesn't. You can't get energy out of it. It's just like helps your bones. You need it for your bones, because otherwise your bones will just break.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that it's energy.
Yeah.
I had no idea that you could eat protein and that is food that gives you energy.
Yeah.
I think that one is more, because you're getting into the weeds sort of scientifically there. I think that's more understandable and acceptable than not knowing what a canyon is until you're 48.
You think that's
I think the protein thing's fine. I think that's all right.
Well, that's why I said the canyon thing first, to sort of soften you up.
Yeah, it works.
So that when I said it, you weren't so shocked about the fact. I knew that if I'd gone straight in with protein, you'd have been all over that head going on about it. I know what you're like when you're getting your high horse.
Yes.
And you'd have been going, oh, how could you not know?
Yeah.
It's one of the foods. You know,
you'd have been torn limb from limb.
Yeah, I would have been.
Yeah.
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 But by sort of tricking you with a canyon thing, which kind of wrong-footed you.
Yeah.
And then pretending that I'd forgotten what I was saying earlier, I tricked you. I tricked Ed Gamble. Not for the first time. Always having to be on the move. Always making phone calls to hotels, but actually it's another hotel. You think you know which hotel I'm going to, but it isn't that one.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. Fake property portfolios left around on the desk.
Yeah.
You look in there, think, oh, I'll go there. It's one of his portfolio. It's not. it's fake information.
Your dream starter, Paul Foot.
Yes. Oh, yes. Dream starter. I thought soup, because I just think soup is so nice, isn't it? Because you get the flavour of what the soup is, but without having to actually eat whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
You just get the flavour.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so easy. Just spoon it in, There's no eating involved. There's no chewing. Flavour. In it goes. Flavour, flavour, flavour.
Yeah. Do you not like chewing?
Well, I mean, I don't mind it. No, it's all right. But it's just, if I'm going to have this dream meal, why not make parts of it easier for me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just shove it in.
Yeah, makes sense.
So I want soup.
What flavour soup?
Well, again, I thought of mushroom because I love mushroom soup. It's my favourite. But then, or pea, love a bit of pea. But then I thought, what about quail? Because I like quail, but it's a bit fiddly to eat, isn't it? There's quite a lot of flavour of quail. But it's fiddling around with that quail, you know. Yeah. And then I thought, what about quail and champagne? Because then I wouldn't even have to bother. I could have champagne with it, but wouldn't have to even bother with having a glass of champagne.
Yeah.
It would all be there.
It'd all be in the soup.
In the soup.
So you want quail and champagne soup?
Yes.
Lovely.
Because I also think, like, you know when you're having a meal and then they say, oh, this wine goes with the food. I never quite know when, like, they say you should take a mouthful of the food and then have a bit of the wine, yes, it goes with it. But,
yeah.
Like, do you have to, like, if you get some of the food in your mouth, do you have to then get the wine in as well, all together, and then sort of chew it to get all the flavours together? Or can you have the food and swallow that and then get the wine in?
Yeah.
It has to be quite really fresh in. You still got you've got a bit of the flavour of the chicken and the pesto sauce. And get the wine in, because it pairs well. And this particular wine, it goes very well with the pesto. The notes of grapefruit really complement the pesto. So you still got the pesto flavour, get the wine in.
Yeah.
You know, or what? You know, it's like, are you allowed to just sometimes have a mouthful of food and not have the wine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to just have a mouthful of the wine? It's difficult to know.
Yeah.
And I just think, wouldn't it be easier if they just get the food and the wine and just blend it together?
Yeah.
Because they go together, and that's where I had the idea. Just shove it all together in a soup.
Yeah.
Quail and champagne soup.
Yeah.
Is the champagne still fizzy when it's in the soup?
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like it to be.
Good to retain the fizz.
Yes, in fact, why not make it into an aspic? Make it into like a jelly soup.
Mm.
And then you could have the bubbles in, couldn't you?
Aren't you rolling the dice a little bit if you have anything fizzy that's got bubbles in it?
Oh, yes, you're right, yes.
Because then you might have to do the one of the...
Yeah, no, I don't...
Screens.
Yes, until I've done the training, you're right. So yeah. in that case, I'll have the champagne flattened prior to... I want the flavour of quail and flat champagne.
Yeah. Quail and flat champagne.
In an aspic still?
In an aspic.
So is it all jelly all the way through?
It's jelly, yeah.
So jelly soup.
It's a jelly soup.
So it's jelly.
It's a soup that's been jellied.
Yeah, it's jelly.
Jelly.
Yeah,
it's a savoury jelly.
Yeah. And you're just going to slurp that and not chew it because you don't want to chew it. So like,
yeah, you don't have to chew jelly. You can swallow jelly whole,
yeah,
but it doesn't matter because it just dissolves inside your tummy, doesn't it?
Yes.
So it's the only thing you can. Apart from mashed potato, you can have mashed potato, just swallow it down.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else you can just swallow down without chewing it that's solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I guess purees.
Any puree or any jelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or aspic.
Yeah.
Or aspic.
I like the word mashed aspic. Potato.
Yeah, it's
sounds
good,
sophisticated,
it?
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's I think it sounds like cleaning products.
You're thinking of asbestos.
And Harpic.
Yeah, and Harpic.
Yeah.
Which together make an awesome combination. A little bit of asbestos from a condemned building, the bit of Harpic, put it around your loo, and you're not going to be worrying about toilet stains in the toilet bowl for long because you'll be dead from asbestos, that thing you get from asbestos, you'll be dead.
Yeah.
Quite soon.
That's literally money down the drain, isn't it?
If you
do that to yourself.
Well, it depends how much it costs.
Yeah.
You say literally money down the drain, but how much does it cost to get asbestos? You can get it for... People will pay you to take it away, to be honest. So it's actually the opposite of money down the drain.
Yeah, you're making
a good investment.
It's actually your life down the drain and money for your children or other beneficiaries to your will. Make sure you make a will before doing that cleaning.
Yeah. Yes.
Because you will be dead shortly.
You'll be dead. Yeah, we'll be dead.
You'll be dead, yeah.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
What's that setting us up for? What's your dream main course?
I thought fillet steak. I love fillet steak. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the other steaks. You know when people say, I prefer sirloin. A little bit of the fat in it gives it the flavour. Oh, have you tried ribeye? Oh, I know you say you don't like T-bone, but try this. It's exceptional. It's not exceptional. They're just awful. They're all gristle, aren't they?
Uh-huh.
You can't... It's all gristle. All those other ones, rump and all those ones, terrible.
I disagree with you, Paul, but that little character you did there was like an impression of me.
What you like. You like the... Oh, he's going marbling.
I like ribeye.
We've got the marbling. Yeah. It gives it the flavour. And it all dissolves away when you kick it. It doesn't dissolve away when you... But it's all chewy. Like when I was a child, I used to hate meat because it was always... I'd sit there at the table and it was all going round around my mouth and it was all chewy and I couldn't get rid of it. Then I'd have to go to the toilet and like flush it down when no one was looking.
Yeah.
It was just awful.
Where would you keep it in between? Would you have it in your mouth when you went to the toilet and then spit it out?
Yeah, I had it in my mouth and I'd have to sort of make excuses. Oh, just point, you know, but they knew. It was all in my cheeks, all that gristle.
Yeah.
And also, you know, when I say gristle, I do mean fat. I do always just call anything that isn't pure lean meat gristle.
Yeah.
I've always done that.
Yeah, why?
I don't know, just because it's just awful, isn't it? You know, like when I go to my local butcher, sometimes I get like a chicken breast and then I say, there's gristle. There's not really gristle, just a bit of fat on it. And then sometimes like another butcher has to come over because they say, yeah, it's all right, we know what to do with Paul. Like they know they have to get rid of every single tiny bit of fat off it.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
You hate it?
Hate it. The only time I don't hate it is I only had it the other day. I hadn't tried it before, but I had Wagyu beef.
Mm.
And I don't think that was fillet, but it was quite fatty.
There's a lot of marbling in that. A
lot of marbling, but it was like proper marbling, not like from your cheap old Aldi sirloin steak thing that you eat and pretend that you're satisfied with. This was like proper Wagyu. It's all like being massaged. They've massaged a lovely little cow and everything. And it's just, it was like chopping into a beef burger. It was so soft.
Yeah.
And it was just pure meat with the fat all marbled through it. That was nice.
Yeah.
But even better, Wagyu fillet steak. And then not only do you have the tenderness of the Wagyu, no gristle at all.
So you would like a Wagyu fillet steak?
Yeah, Wagyu fillet
steak. That'd be your dream?
Yeah.
You might be the first person. Have we had Wagyu before?
Maybe. We've chatted about it before.
We've chatted about it.
But I don't know if anyone's picked it specifically. Chosen. How do you like that cooked, Paul? To what temperature?
Quite rare.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes, rare.
What do you think of people who have, like, well done?
Oh, it's appalling, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I don't want to sit here and tell people how to live their lives.
Yeah.
But, you know, what sort of person would, I like it well done. You know, it's pathetic, isn't it? Can I have it medium well done? And they're the even worse people. Medium too well done. I mean, just admit what you want.
Yeah.
You want it well done. Just say that. Don't try and sound sophisticated by saying medium well done. Just say I don't appreciate the meat. I want it cooked to a cinder. I want it cooked to a cinder until it's all gone all dry because I'm British and it's the only way I've ever had it.
Yeah.
I can't possibly like the idea of any blood coming out and just say, well done, have it like that.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to go to, because if you go to a restaurant, especially British ones, they always cook it a bit more. Like if you say medium rare, they'll always do it medium and so on because they're just too sort of scared to serve anything with any blood. So I like to say, could I have it really, really well done until it's actually dried out and ruined? Because that's how you're going to do it anyway, wasn't it? That's what I like to say.
That shows. I imagine the answer's no to this, but do you want any sauce on this? Sometimes people like a sauce on their steak.
Yeah.
Peppercorn sauce or something?
Yeah, I like a sauce.
Oh, you do?
Well, this is similar to the soup, really, isn't it? Because I can have any flavour I want.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, so I could have peppercorn.
Yeah.
But I could have anything.
Mm.
Cherry cola.
Yeah, cherry cola.
Could have cherry cola sauce, couldn't I?
Sometimes people, you know, cook meat in cola, don't they?
Yeah. And cola goes into barbecue sauce sometimes. Yeah. So I actually think that would work as a sauce.
Yeah, but I've had a better idea.
Oh. Yeah.
Poppadom sauce. No one's expecting that, are they?
No.
It looks like cherry cola, but it tastes of poppadom.
And also, bread sauce is a thing.
Yeah,
so
bread
therefore,
sauce.
Why not have poppadom sauce?
Yeah.
You know, like, why doesn't that exist in the world already, you know?
Yeah, why doesn't it?
Yeah, so I think you've done a good thing there.
Yeah, I've invented something.
Yes. Yeah, you've invented something properly.
Bubblegum sauce that looks like cherry cola.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I haven't invented that. I've invented bubblegum sauce. I have no idea how to make it look like cherry cola. That's beyond my abilities. I'd have to get like Heston Blumenthal for
that. Well, the genie can do that.
I can do that for you.
Oh, can you?
I can make anything you want. If you want it to look like cherry cola but taste like pappadum sauce, done.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah, you can have that.
Yes.
On your steak. On your steak. Fillet Wagyu.
Fillet Wagyu, yeah. No gristle.
There'll be no gristle, I promise. We know how to deal with Paul.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I could do. This is just a silly idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I could have. I mean, I don't think you want silly ideas, really, do you?
I think we're talking about pappadum sauce that looks like cherry cola. So yeah. I think we're okay with whatever you're about to say.
I could have a sauce that tastes of gristle. See what it's like, because I've never eaten gristle.
Yeah.
Because whenever I've tried to eat some gristle, some people just eat gristle, don't they? You see them, oh, you're lovely, like that fat all around a bit of ham.
They eat fat, yeah. They don't eat actual gristle, but they eat fat, yeah.
Oh, fat.
It's getting confusing because you seem to call everything gristle.
It's gristle,
yeah.
What do you think about...
I call you gristle.
Yeah, you
That's
do,
actually my affectionate name for you.
Ed Gristle.
Like sometimes, in times when Ed's like stalking me, there are little times when there's just a moment. Like it might be a moment when I'm just frantically getting my bedroom door closed, trying to get the privacy lock over, desperately trying to push his foot out so he does, and I'm trying to push back a knife that he's trying to get through the door.
It's got really sinister.
Yeah, I know. It's quite.
You're the one who does it, mate.
When I say knife,
a gamble, does it?
I mean a butter knife, because you know,
he's trying to butter you.
He's trying to butter me up. He's trying to butter me up. Literally, he's actually spent the whole evening buttering me.
Ed Gamble got mixed up with the phrase.
Yeah. So Ed Gamble, he treats me like a crumpet.
Yeah.
Anyway, after such nights as that, sometimes it's just a moment. It's like hatred in both of our eyes, you know, like as we look at each other. Yeah, get off me, just get out of my room. And he's, I want to put more butter on you. And sometimes there's just a little moment of like human connection between us, almost as if we've both had enough of all the stress and all the worry. And then I just say, all right, Gristle. That's my little affectionate name. And then Ed Gamble, he blows me a little kiss and I close the door. And
a little kissle.
And that's the end for that day. Until the morning.
Until the morning, yeah.
And the nightmare just starts anew.
Your dream side dish.
Oh, it's dream side dish. Well, can I have Dover sole sashimi?
Of course you can,
yeah. Because I really like sashimi.
Yeah.
I just love it. It's the best. Yeah. It's like one of the best things ever, isn't it? When you get really good sashimi, it's so good.
Yeah.
And I did think I could have all a selection of sashimis. But then one time I was in a restaurant in Tokyo and it was Michelin 3-starred, but it was very unpretentious because it's Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like some of the best food ever there.
Yeah.
I had like a carrot. It was the best carrot I've ever tasted in my whole life. I don't know how they cooked a carrot so well.
Yeah.
And part of the meal was Dover sole sashimi. Uh-huh. And also the restaurant, it was called Grunt.
Yes.
Like if you translated it.
Yes.
It was a kind of fish called Grunt.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was so nice. So I just thought, can I just like absolutely have loads of Dover sole sashimi?
Great.
It's expensive, but just have that.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I might even cut down a bit on the fillet steak just so I can just really go.
Really make room for the Dover sole.
For the Dover sole sashimi.
Was the restaurant called Grunt?
It's called Grunt. Yeah. Well, in Japanese. Yeah. It's the Japanese name for the fish called Grunt. It's named after the fish called Grunt. It's not called Grunt like Grunt.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not Biggins.
No, it's not Christopher. No, that's the Christopher Biggins restaurant, which is ironically also called Grunt.
Yes.
From his days when he was trying to be all masculine.
Yeah, yeah. He had the restaurant joke.
Yeah. Right, welcome to, He was the maitre d' there. He'd welcome people. Yeah, welcome to the restaurant. Welcome to Grunt. He'd say, trying to be all masculine and sort of. That was the thought. That was the theme of the restaurant.
What's
masculine.
The masculinity.
Masculinity was a theme, but it soon went wrong.
Yeah.
By the time people were even, by the time people had just even getting their starters, it had already turned into a big camp fest. Christopher Biggins going around and saying, who's for another little savoury mouthful? I wouldn't mind one myself and all that. It was like that, and it went on like that for the rest of the evening.
So this Dover sole sashimi sounds brilliant. I think that's a wonderful choice.
Yeah, I think it's nice.
Wonderful choice. From
Have you got
Grunt.
Soy and wasabi to do any dipping, or do you leave that alone?
Yeah, a bit of dipping.
Bit of dipping.
Bit of dipping. And also the opportunity to look sophisticated.
Mm.
I put my wasabi in sauce. And I only put half the wasabi in. That's my method. Yeah. Using the chopsticks, showing your sophistication.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Always fun, particularly if there's someone who doesn't use the chopsticks at the meal. He has to use a fork.
Yeah. What do you think of those people? Do you think they're worse than the people who have a steak done well done?
Yeah.
The people who use a fork for their sushi?
No, I think it's... I never used to be able to use the chopsticks, actually, until I was about 10 years ago, actually. Mm-hmm. I never could do it.
Yeah.
But one time I was on a flight from Sydney to Tokyo and I sat next to a Japanese lady and I just observed her and I learned everything from Why are you looking like that?
Because you're having a go at me for waiting for you in a phone box and you sat next to the woman you didn't know and watched her hands for the whole flight.
Yeah, well, I wanted to see what she was doing with her chopsticks and I learned everything from that.
You didn't ask her, did you talk to her and say, what's the secret?
Yeah, I mean, the way you paint it in a very different light, but, you know, I think it wasn't like we were having a big, long chat the whole flight, but it wasn't like I didn't say anything either. You know, we would have had a couple of exchanges. Mm-hmm. It was very nice food. You're having the Japanese dish as well. Oh, you're very nice. Yes, the you know, something like that.
You're very nice.
No, the sashimi. Oh, right. Not you're very nice.
You said to her, you're having the Japanese dish as well. You're very nice.
I thought you said that as well, but
she was very nice. Yeah. She was a very nice person, you know.
Yeah,
but I didn't mean it like that.
But you observed her.
Yeah, I observed her.
And now you live your life like her in all ways, or just the chopsticks.
Yeah, in some ways, I live my life in that way, you know, because I use the chopsticks with her. And also, if I were to ever fly to Japan again, I would be going there for a euthanasia session.
Yeah,
like her, like she was, you know.
So she was going.
It was her final journey. So she said, "Look, I've had enough. You know, she said, "I've got a terrible disease, and I've had a good life, but I'm going back to see my family, and then it's a euthanasia session. End it all." So I can assure you, the fact I kept saying, "You're very nice," and looking at her hands, she wasn't bothered.
She wasn't bothered.
She was well beyond all that. She just thought, if there's some weird pervert looking at my hands, fine, let him. Within minutes of getting off the plane, she was dead. She actually went straight into... She didn't even bother going through immigration. She didn't even bother re-entering her own nation. Just as soon as she got into the sort of the arrivals area, they just put an injection in her and off she went.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, it wasn't strictly euthanasia. It was more of an assassination.
Yeah.
But she knew about it. It was a pre-organised, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, she had said to me, please help me, I'm in danger. You know, there's assassins. I'm going back to Japan. I want to go back. I don't want to live my whole life in exile in Sydney.
Yeah.
But there's a danger.
Yeah.
I said, don't worry, I'll be looking out for you. Don't worry, if I'm here, you'll be safe.
Yeah.
She felt, I think, comforted to know that I had her back. I was going to be...
Mm.
And as soon as these people all went round her, like with syringes and chloroform and poison darts and various other killing methods.
Yeah.
As soon as they did that, I said, transfers this way. You know, I was off.
Yeah, there's too much to handle. There's a lot for you to take on all at once, isn't it? So
we've all had that
happen. Excuses.
You know, on a plane, you sort of bond with someone on the plane, and then you say, "Oh, we'll keep in touch." Yeah, yeah. And you're taking the same flight, are you? To something? Yeah, I'll see you on there.
Yeah.
And then they just give you the slip, and then you never see them again. Similar to that, but much worse.
Yeah.
because I had promised that I would protect her.
Yeah.
I would protect her life. She said to me, you know, you're a stranger, but we have a connection now because you are guaranteeing my life. You're going to protect me.
Yeah.
And she said, that shows what decency you have as a human being because ultimately you will protect me. And I said, well, it doesn't really matter that I don't know you. That's just what one does for another human being. Another, we're all part of one human race.
Yes.
And so I'm going to protect you. I didn't.
No.
No, she was into the arms of the assassins.
Do you remember her name?
Yes. Yes, I remember her name.
But you can't say it out loud.
No, I can't say it for legal reasons.
But you hold it in your heart. You think of it every day?
Every time you use chopsticks?
Every time I use chopsticks, I think of her name.
Yeah.
And every time I don't use chopsticks, like other times of the day when I'm not using chopsticks, I also think of her because I think, well, I sent her to the to her death.
Yeah.
It was my fault. You know,
yeah.
So, yeah.
That's going to weigh heavy.
Yeah, so I think of her all the time, really. It weighs heavily on my conscience. Yeah. But when I'm using chopsticks, that's when I say her name over and over again.
Yeah.
Sort of like a mantra.
Yeah.
Which is ironically a hotel. which I stayed in a different one to you.
Yeah, a different one to me.
Yeah,
one step ahead.
Your dream drink, Paul?
Oh, dream drink. Well, I wanted a question about this. When's the drink administered, sort of thing? Because
whenever you want.
Yeah, well, that's the point. I mean, do I choose one drink? Like, for example, I might like a porn star martini.
Yeah.
It's a really nice drink that didn't even exist like 12 years ago. It's amazing. Yeah. Someone just invented that 12 years ago. But I might want that. I wouldn't want it for the whole thing. I wouldn't want that with a Dover sole sashimi.
Well, we could give you maybe the porn star martini when you come into the restaurant. That's like the welcoming drink.
Yeah, welcoming drink.
And then we could give you another drink for the food.
So it's just one drink. So it's not very sophisticated.
No, we could give you a different drink.
I mean, you know, normally with a tasting menu, you have a different thing.
You can do that if you want.
Well, why didn't you say that earlier?
We wait for people to hack the format.
Oh, I see. You wait for people.
Yeah, so you can have a porn star martini when you arrive at the restaurant.
Yeah, I'll have that when I arrive. Yes.
So, and that's champagne and...
A porn star martini is that like that passoa, isn't it? It's that passion fruit liqueur.
It's often got a half passion fruit in the top that they set fire to.
It's got half passion fruit in the top, and then it comes with a little shot of Prosecco, doesn't it?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so you're doing that.
But I'll change that for a shot of quail and champagne.
Flat
champagne aspic.
Yeah,
so I can have a bit more.
Yeah.
So I'll have that as my shot.
Yeah. Do you like porn stars?
Do I like porn stars? Yeah, I think they're great.
You know, I wouldn't have expected you to drink a porn star martini. It's not something I would associate.
No, I wouldn't have guessed that for you.
Well, I like sweet flavours, like passion fruit's nice. Mm. And I also find it's a good example of marketing, isn't it? Mm. Because it's got nothing to do with porn stars at all. It just sounds like, it's like the person who invented that cocktail, what was it called? A slow, comfortable screw or something.
Against the wall.
And they thought, aren't I being clever? And it's going to really take off. It didn't take off.
Yeah.
It's just a novelty. No one actually gets it. Occasionally, it's on the menu. People say, can I have a slow, comfortable screw against the wall? And then someone else says, I can see what all the evening it's turning into. You know, a little joke like that. It's all part of the flirtation. It's all part of the night.
Yeah.
But
it's harmless.
It's harmless. Well, it's not always harmless.
No.
Not in the case of that Japanese lady, because the flirtation turned into death.
Was that what started her being hunted down then? A conversation like that when she was ordering a cocktail?
She asked for a slow, comfortable screw against the wall.
Yeah, she asked for a slow, comfortable screw against the wall. I said, did you say shot against the wall? She said, oh, that sounds fun. A shot against the wall. Is that like a shot of, like, a shot of something? As I stand against the wall, sounds fun. I said, well, you'll find out as soon as you get off this plane.
So you had her killed?
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why the guilt is so heavy on me. I was the one. In fact, I haven't really explained the story. When we got off the plane, I said, I'll protect you. But I just got to the pop to the loo, you see. Then I came back as the assassin.
Yeah.
I said, hello. You know, would you like to get against the wall for your shot? And she was shot. You know, so it was me. I was the...
You shot her.
I was the assassin all along.
Yeah.
Then I went back into the loo, came back as me. She was like, where were you to protect me? And then there was a sort of a moment as she lay there dying when she realised that I was both all along. And she was like, you were the assassin. And I said, that's right, Gristle. Because that was my pet name for her.
Yeah.
As it happens, quite coincidentally, the same one I've got for her.
Yeah. Well, I'm scared now. Yeah. Scared for my life.
It's the same one. But anyway, that was her.
And you were the last thing she saw. Was she looking at you as she died?
Well,
the lights flickered out.
I wouldn't say that, no, because you still had a connecting flight to Kyoto.
Did she make that?
Oh yeah. She made that. She was severely injured, but she made it through the connecting flight. It's only a 45-minute flight, James.
Mm. Yeah,
it's only
a
short flight. You're only 30 minutes in transit. You're straight on the flight. I mean, you know, I don't know what sort of death you think she had, but it wasn't that quick.
Well, I mean, I don't know what sort of a death I think she had. At one point, she was injected with something. Another point, they surrounded her and injected her and, like...
Poison darts.
And poison darts and all sorts. And now it's you shooting her.
And then she got.
So I don't know how she's died. I don't know how she's died on this connecting flight.
No, no. I mean, she pulled through.
She's alive.
She's still alive. She's still alive. She was injured, in many ways, quite shaken.
Yeah.
But she's still alive. Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, good. Happy ending.
She's living a happy life.
Yeah.
I still write to her pen pals.
So you got a porn star martini as you arrive.
Yeah.
But then, what drinks do you want with the different courses? Do you have how many different drinks do you want?
Well, could I have 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
have you said 12 with 12 in mind? Or have you said 12 and now you've got to think of 12 drinks?
Oh, I've said 12 and I've got about 4 in mind and now I've got to quickly think of my feet.
Yeah.
You know the feet. You know what that's like, James.
Oh, yeah, I know what that's like.
When you're on a podcast and you say something silly and then you think, what have I done?
Yeah.
I felt a bit like that with that story about that when I said about me going into the loo and I thought, that doesn't really tie into the those people all surrounding her with the poison darts. But I thought, I'm sure James will just roll. He's not going to pick me up on that.
Yeah.
He won't mention it.
Yeah.
He's not going to say, oh, there was something in the story that didn't make sense. He won't mention it. He'll just let it go. But you did.
Yeah, I mentioned it.
Yeah, and then I said she's still alive. The whole story kind of fell apart at that point, didn't it?
No.
No.
I think we've got a very clear view of that story.
Oh, you think it's clear, yes.
Yeah, we know everything that happened in that story is very clear.
All right. Well, Pinot de Chiron.
Yeah.
That would be one of my drinks.
Are we including the porn star martini in the 12?
Porn star martini is one of the 12.
Yeah.
Pinot de Chiron.
Yeah.
Because it makes you sound sophisticated to order something like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Pinot de Chiron.
So I have that as an aperitif.
Yeah.
Campari and soda.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a classic, isn't it?
I think it's lovely. It's classic for a reason.
It's bitter. I love bitter flavours.
Yeah.
I love all the... I used to think that I wasn't very sophisticated, like with wine, because I like all the wines.
Yeah.
But then I realised that's because I like all the flavours. I like sweet, I like bitter, I like sour, I like umami, the fourth flavour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I also... I don't like the fifth flavour.
What's the fifth flavour?
Shit. It's not good, is it? Like, even in a... But it's, even in a small dose, it's not good.
No.
It never adds to it.
It's not good. It's horrible.
It's a horrible flavour.
Bitter, sweet, sour.
Umami.
And shit.
Yeah.
I'm done. We've got a lot of drinks to get through here, Paul.
Yes, yeah, all right. All right, then.
Sorry, I just...
Yeah.
We've had 3, haven't we?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Have we?
Yeah, we've had 3.
Yeah,
Pinot de Chiron.
Let's not go through it all again.
Three.
Please. No, actually, let's keep going through it. Let's keep adding one and then having to go through them.
Paul Star Martini, Pinot de Chiron, Campari and soda.
Yeah, after that, sherry.
Mm.
Yeah, have a sherry.
A lovely sherry.
Nice sherry. Then after that, Chardonnay. Nice Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Nice wine.
Yeah. Very nice.
After that, a nice other white wine. Another white wine.
Any white wine.
Riesling.
Yeah.
Mm. Have a Riesling.
Yeah, you like Rieslings, yeah.
After that, can I have shit juice but not have it? Just leave that one. So it's one of the drinks, but I leave it, so I only drink 11 of them.
Yes.
Shit juice.
Yeah, shit juice, but you're not going to have it.
Taste of shit. It's the essence of shit.
Yeah.
But you're not going to have it.
But you'll have it,
you just want it there.
Yes.
As a reminder of, like, at least I'm not drinking that.
Of how good you've got it. Yeah.
But it's not actually shit. Because it reminds me of, you know, there's that thing at the modern art thing in Hobart, in that museum there.
Yeah.
Where they've got a machine that makes human shit.
Well, I didn't know that.
So they like they've got a machine that they put food into, and it in every way imitates a great big machine.
Yeah.
Exactly the same chemicals that are in the human body, and it makes shit.
And it takes the exact same amount of time, right? So people turn up to the museum to see the machine poop.
Have you been there?
No, but I've read about
it. Yeah, so it comes out the poop, but it's not real poo because it's kind of is real, but isn't.
Sure.
Because it's just like a chemical.
Wow.
So I'd have the same. I'd make it chemically, sort of chemical shit flavouring.
Yeah. So you want it from that machine?
Yeah, from that machine.
Yeah.
From Hobart.
The shit juice.
The essence of shit from that museum in Hobart.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll tell you what I might do. One of my favourite flavours is bubblegum flavour.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know that bubblegum flavour is made from banana and strawberry? But it's a special chemical thing So it's only one aspect of the chemicals that make banana and one aspect of the chemicals that make strawberry.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that at all.
So it's just like one bit of the sort of thing. So yeah. I could do the same with shit. Just like a little bit of the shit. Just one aspect of the shit. Okay.
I thought you were going to have a bubblegum flavoured thing, but no.
We're still on the shit.
Yeah, you're still on the shit juice.
Yeah, actually, I've changed my mind. I'll have a bubblegum.
Bubblegum flavoured drink.
Yeah, bubblegum flavoured drink.
Instead of the shit juice.
Yeah, so forget the shit juice. It's disgusting. I don't want it.
So we've done seven so far. It's horrible. You've got five more drinks to go. I'm glad you're not having shit juice, Paul.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Bubblegum.
Bubblegum juice.
Juice.
Nothing.
Bubblegum stuff.
Yeah.
And then maybe some nice red wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a light one.
A light red wine.
Light red wine.
Yeah.
And then a heavy one.
Yeah.
Nice heavy French red wine.
Balance it out.
Yeah, balance it out.
Yeah.
I have chartreuse?
Yes.
Yeah?
Because I like that.
Yeah.
And I've got like a bit of a relationship with chartreuse.
Yeah?
Sometimes it's the drink I go to after having had many other drinks. I always go to a chartreuse.
Ah.
One time I landed in Brazil and I must have had a few wines on the plane because when we got off I kept going on about, let's go to a favela. And then I kept saying, they don't have any chartreuse.
In the favelas?
Yeah, I was a danger.
Yeah,
I could have died that night.
Yeah.
Two more drinks, Paul?
Chambord.
Lovely.
I had an incident once at Terminal 3, Heathrow Terminal 3, Chambord.
What happened to you there? Was that...
Well, it was...
killing another woman?
A Quai Royal station.
Oh.
Champagne with Chambord.
Yeah.
But I was particularly having a bit of Chambord. And then I kept saying... Just one more Chambord. Just one more Chambord. Then eventually they said, you have to get onto your aircraft now or it will leave.
Air travel seems to be a real issue for you. A lot of the sort of hot points in your life come during air travel.
Well, the times I've assassinated people, things like that.
Yeah, but there's the favela chartreuse incident and then Heathrow.
One more
Chambord.
Yes. It has been a flashpoint area.
Yeah.
You know, it's a danger.
Yeah. And your final drink?
Final drink.
You got one more drink left.
Final one. Final.
Maybe it is your final one ever. Do you want it to be?
Oh, what, like that horrible stuff they give you in Dignitas, you mean? That's a drink, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, no, I don't think I want that.
No,
I don't want that.
Something nice.
No, something nice.
Yeah.
What about nice glass of milk?
Yes, a nice glass of milk. Semi-skimmed? Skimmed? Full fat?
Full fat.
Yeah.
I did that once, on a plane. Because I was on a plane at Bermuda and it was 9 in the morning and they said, would you like a drink before takeoff? And I said, a gin and orange, which is seen as very eccentric because it's like flying to New York. It's an American Airlines flight to New York. You do not order a gin and orange at 9 in the morning in America. They were just like, what?
Yeah.
Gin and orange. And then I drank it and I was ever so slightly tipsy because I'd had a gin and orange before even takeoff. And I wrote some comedy about the fat dove. It was a dove who was really fat. It was quite successful.
Yeah.
You know, I did it in one of my shows.
Yeah.
And then later the cabin crew person came through and said, what would you like? And I thought, I've got to really come out with something here because she's thinking, oh, I'm going to say gin and orange. So I just said, a glass of milk, please. And she just said, good comeback. Like she knew I had foxed her. She knew I outplayed her. Because she was like, she knew that she thought was thinking I was going to say, oh, another gin and orange. She was going to be like, another gin and orange? That's what you want, but it's still only 9:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
With her eyes. She wouldn't have said that, obviously, because she's a professional cabin crew, but she'd done it with her in her eyes.
Yeah.
Or I'd have said something like a coffee, and she'd said, coffee. You know, play it safe, have a coffee. Yeah, yes. Had too much gin, did you earlier? Having a coffee.
Yeah.
But I absolutely outplayed her. glass of milk.
We arrive at your dream dessert, Paul.
Ah, yes. Can I have souffle? Because souffle is so fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Anything with souffle. And I was thinking about flavour. And then I was thinking about rambutan. I like rambutan.
I don't know what rambutan is.
Well, it's a bit like a lychee, isn't it? But different, slight different flavour. And it's really lovely flavour.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you've just got all the flavour in the souffle. No need, a bit like the soup. Mm. There's no need to bother with all like peeling the rambutan and getting the thing and getting the stone out. Just get straight into the flavour. And then I was thinking about other things like lychee I love and passion fruit and all the other fruits. Mm. And then I was thinking like when I was in Penang in Malaysia and like I had all these fruits that I've never heard of before or since with amazing flavours.
Yeah.
So could I have a special souffle so every mouthful it's a different fruit?
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course you can.
Absolutely.
So each mouthful it changes.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
I know dessert souffle, it's very special. They are very nice.
Yes. And so. Could I have violet flavour? I know that's not a fruit, but could I have that as one of my flavours?
What, like a Parma violet flavour?
Yeah, like violet flavour.
Wow.
Yeah. Parma violet flavour. And rose flavour. I like rose. Like I like the idea you can get a rose and make that into cooking.
Yeah, it's mad. It's
brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, that is bonkers. So you want rose, you want violet, you want lychee, you want rambutan,
passion fruit. I want dragon fruit.
Mm. Yeah.
Which I was always used to be disappointed by because it looks so pretty from the outside and not so much inside. But then I realised there's a real delicacy to the flavour. Mm-hmm. You have to be prepared to probe into the flavour of the dragon fruit.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't
yeah.
just be, you know, you've got to be sophisticated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So those are some of the flavours.
Do you want one flavour to be like a certain aspect of a banana and another flavour to be a certain aspect of a strawberry?
Yeah, so we have that.
Yeah.
Bubblegum flavour.
Yeah.
And cherry flavour.
Mm,
sour cherry flavour.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Now, I did something about 3 years ago, which was I went to Greece.
Yeah.
And I was with a friend of mine. And then we went to Piraeus. We spent some time in Greece. Then we went to Piraeus, which is that port, because we were taking a boat somewhere.
Yeah.
And he said, would you like a drink? Because we were waiting for the ferry.
Yeah.
And I said, because I hadn't had it for like 25 years, sour cherry juice. Because you used to be able to get that in Britain like 25 years ago. So I just said it because I just thought, gets him out of my hair for a bit. And to my amazement, he comes back 30 seconds later with sour cherry juice.
Wow.
They sell it in Greece.
Wow.
In Piraeus. That's where to get it.
I had yesterday, there's that cola that's called Green Cola. Are you familiar with that brand?
Oh, no. What's that?
It's like a diet cola, but it's all like quite natural ingredients and like it tastes a bit more maybe botanical than some other diet colas, but it's very nice. One of the things they do is sour cherry.
Oh.
And that's not a sour cherry cola. It's just like sour cherry kind of fizzy drink.
Oh.
And I had that yesterday as I was walking here, actually. And it was very, very nice. I hadn't had it before and they really nailed it.
Wow. Did you get me a can?
I'd like
to. If only I knew.
Yeah.
If only I knew, but I got it from the Holland & Barrett.
Oh, well, I'll go to Holland & Barrett and get one.
Yeah.
Do you want the flavour of that in one of the spoonfuls of souffle?
Yeah, the flavour of that thing you've described to save me having to go to Holland & Barrett to get it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, great. I'll put that in there. I'm going to read your menu back to you now and see how you feel about it.
Yes.
You want still water?
Yes.
You want poppadoms with all the dips, plus a cherry cola flavoured poppadom sauce looks like poppadoms.
Yes.
Starter, you want quail and flat champagne aspic.
Yes.
Main course, Wagyu fillet steak, quite rare, with poppadom-flavoured cherry cola sauce.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Side dish, Dover sole sashimi from Grunt. Drink, you would like, well, when you arrive, you want a porn star martini with a shot of the aspic and jelly again. And then you want Pinot de Groyo, is it?
Pinot de Chiron.
De Chiron. Campari and soda, this is throughout the meal, sherry, Chardonnay, Riesling, bubblegum juice, light red wine, a heavy red wine, chartreuse, one more Chambord, and a milk.
I'm glad I took out the shit juice. It wouldn't have fitted.
It wouldn't have, right. No.
And the dessert, you want a souffle that changes with every single mouthful, changes flavour with each mouthful you have. How do you feel about that?
I feel good. It sounds like a great meal.
Yeah.
I feel like you've used the dream restaurant to its full strengths.
Yeah.
In that you've invented things. There's magical dishes.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. You admitted that you attempted to kill a Japanese woman.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
But very happy that she survived in that story.
You've admitted that you've been making
a
my
brute.
Life.
Well, I actually never admitted that. I was very quiet throughout the whole thing.
Yes, but... It's been stated.
Yes, it's been stated.
You didn't deny it.
No.
Yeah, you have been buttering me up, literally.
Ed Gamble has been.
Yes, Ed Gamble has been buttering me up, literally, in a series of travel lodges around Britain.
Yeah.
Putting butter over me.
Thank you so much, Paul, for coming on Off Menu.
Well, thanks, James Acaster.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Ed Gamble and Crystal.
Bye. Well, there we are, James.
Whoa.
I mean, I knew the Paul Foot episode was going to be something special.
Yeah.
But that was bananas, man.
What a ride.
What a ride.
So many characters, so many tales.
Yes.
That we got told. I don't know what to believe. What was true, what wasn't. Who's to say?
I properly lost it on numerous occasions.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll release a video of Paul talking about the different flavours in food.
And what is burp?
Yeah, and what is burp? That's all good. I mean, man, what a great episode. Interesting menu as well.
Didn't say moist cake.
Moist cake, but, you know, how could we have guessed what he was going to say?
Yeah.
The quail soup, whatever it was, with the jelly. The cubes of aspic. Man, great. I hope, you know what I hope this episode does? I think most people who know about comedy know Paul Foot and know he's brilliant.
Yeah.
But I hope if people are listening, looking out for new comics to enjoy, their next favourite, I think it might be Paul Foot.
Has to be. And you can go and see him do his new show, Dissolvers, on tour.
Yes.
And it will be fantastic.
Yes. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you again next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.